For some time now, I've been looking forward to this morning because of a special guest speaker we have. Our speaker was saved September the 10th of 1978, and that was through the influence of a colleague he met in the military in Taiwan and a GFA missionary. In 1980, he sensed the Lord's leading to preach, and in 1986 graduated from the Orient Fundamental Bible College in Taiwan and was ordained to preach by Dr. Bob Jones, Jr. In May of 1987, he received his Master of Arts in Theology and then his Ph.D. in Theology in 1992 from Bob Jones University and then his Doctor of Education from LaSalle University. While he was pursuing his degrees in South Carolina, he started the Chinese Bible Church and a missionary organization which became known as Christian Way Missions. Now, his name is Christian Way, but his last name is W-E-I. This is Christian Way, W-A-Y. So I love how that worked out. In 1999, Dr. Way founded the Yukon International College on the island of Saipan. And he did so as a way to reach more Asian students in different countries and to preach to them the message of Jesus Christ. I had the privilege of being with him a couple of years ago, and what a wonderful work there is out there for the Lord. Just a tremendous privilege to preach to those men out there. And just to get to know him a little bit better, he and his wife Judy. And so we are very privileged to have him this morning. And I'm going to have you come, Dr. Way, and as you're coming, I'm going to make some adjustments here, so I hope you'll bear with me as I do so. You come and preach what the Lord's laid on your heart.
Thank you, sir. Well, I consider this a wonderful privilege to spend time with you and share the Word of God with you. Now, I want to say this. Pastor Amru is actually the person who signed my dissertation. And so his name is forever in my life. And so I'm very grateful that this privilege that to come to meet with his congregation and his people. And I also want to thank this privilege to be able to share the biblical scripture with you. Now, my name is Christian Way, but this is actually not my Chinese name. I want you to understand I have a Chinese name, but many times when I said this is my Chinese name, most of the American people cannot pronounce it correctly. Just like I speak Chinglish instead of English. So I thought maybe I need to have an English name so everybody can understand what my name is. And so when I was learning English, when I was in the junior high school, so our English teachers asked us to to choose an English name. And I thought I want to have a name that everybody will remember. And the most influential person in the history, in the Western history, is Christ. So I thought I want to be the most influential person in the Oriental history. So I thought, maybe I will name myself Christ. But I was a little bit afraid that if I said my name is Christ, people are going to punch my nose. And I already have a very flat nose. There won't be no nose if I say that. So I thought maybe I change a little bit. Instead of Christ, I name myself Christian. But I was not saved. Little I was known that God has a perfect will in my life. So I use that name as my English name, and then when I was in the military, Pastor mentioned that one colleague came to me and said, "Hey, do you want to go to church?" I say, "I hate Christianity. I grew up in the Chinese tradition. We have our own philosophy, and we have a 5,000 years tradition and religions and philosophies. Why I want to go to church?" And then the colleague said, "Well, but there's a lot of girls and in the church and singing hymns and playing guitars." And then he said, "Do you want to go?" I said, "Well, in that case, I'll go with you." Unfortunately, this is really bad motive to go to church. But I went. However, when I went there, the Lord let me see a different group of young people. And I have seen that those young people, they have something I don't have. I mean, they have peace, joy that I eager to have, but they don't have, honestly. So I studied them, and my pastor gave me a book entitled, Is the Bible the Inspired Word of God? And I studied. The more I study, the more I get angry. I think this is Christian propaganda. I mean, of course you will say this. And there's all kinds of evidence to prove there's a God and things like that. And I was so angry. I said, this is really, I mean, not for me. But the more I get angry, the more I want to know what's happening. So I read the whole through the whole book. In the end, the author, who was the PhD in Germany with a chemistry professional, so he wrote 32 questions. Says, have you committed this kind of sin and that kind of sin? I was shocked because I committed them all of them. So on that night, September 10, 1978, I kneeled down in the military, one of the dormitory room. I started praying. I don't know how to pray. Nobody teach me. And so I pray in a way, it says, God, if you exist, please help me. And I'm not ashamed to tell you that I cry, and quite bitterly. And I don't know what's happening, but I just wept bitterly because realized that I'm not good and I have sinned, and I'm in a very bad shape. And I don't know how long I cried, but when I stood up, I expect some miracles. You know, I heard that sometimes a miracle happens when you pray to God, so I'm waiting for a big light from heaven. But nothing happened. Or sometimes, I'm thinking, well, no big light, maybe there's an earthquake. But no earthquake. So that night, actually, pretty disappointed. No big lights, no earthquake. But I make a decision. I said, I'm going to go to the church and to find out what's happening. And that a year later, I got baptized. And when I reflect that night, September 10, 1978, even though I didn't experience the physical miracles, but you know, miracles did happen. God changed my life. And start from that day, the Lord continued to change my life until today. And I'm sure that He is going to continue to change my life until I face my Lord Jesus Christ face to face. And I believe God is a miracle God. And He continued to do miracles through this transforming of life. And this is what the Lord called us to do. And we go inside of 1040 windows, which is the neglect areas of the world, and next hour I'd like to share with you those areas that we neglect for decades, and people are eager to hear the gospel, and yet very few people to share the gospel with them. But this morning I would like to share with you the concept from James chapter, if I can make it correct. Yeah, how to respond biblically during the trials. And if you can, please turn with me to James chapter 1, verse 2 to 8. I know that one of the things that we do in the States is that there's a 11 commandments. I mean, we have 10 commandments in the Bible, but according to the church, we have an 11th commandment. Thou shalt preach short. And so you will be invited again. And so I'm going to try to do as soon as possible. But I want to share with you that this is very important, because when you talk about the book of James, you're talking about that this is from a pastor's heart. And you have to realize James is half brother of Jesus Christ, and he is the pastor, senior pastor of the first Jerusalem church, and the church of the whole world, and the first church. And so you have this pastor looking around the first century church, and he saw so many difficulties and problems in the church. And one of the things that the book of James talking about is that there's a lot of people that mix up in the church, and they proclaim they're Christian, but yet they don't have the right kind of behavior as a Christian. So James says, if you have faith, prove it to me. Now, don't just talk about you have faith, and yet you live a sinful lifestyle. And so that is one of the theme that we remember about the book of James. But the problem is that if you study the book of James from a pastor's heart, then you understand that he is dealing with a lot of details and difficulties and problems and the wrong behavior among the church people. The first thing that he deals with is the trial. I mean, you know, honest speaking, the reason why today so many people reject Jesus Christ and do not want to go to church is because they didn't see any difference between Christian people and non-saved people, unsaved people. I mean, when we face trials, we respond in the same thing like the unsaved. Why they want to believe that we have a God? And so James says, when you face trial, this is actually what the biblical principle, and this is what you are supposed to respond. And I have been involved into both churches, in the Western Church and Eastern Church, and particularly in Chinese house church, where I have seen people being persecuted all the time. And yet when they respond to the trial and persecution in the biblical way, and that's the reason why in China you have seen people got saved, I mean, in tons. And people, the whole village got saved because they have seen Christian people, they live different lifestyle. But in today's, in the church, in the States, we have a lot of people, when they face trials and difficulties, they respond just like unsaved. But how can we prove that we have a God who is above all those circumstances and situations, and even trials and persecution? And so this morning, I'd like to encourage you to look at the scripture and then to see how we're supposed to respond biblically during the trial. So first of all, we need to see James chapter 1, verse 2 to 8, talking about the things that we need to respond. First of all, we need to see the reality, chapter 1, verse 2. And then we're going to see the response. What is the biblical response that when we face trial? And then the first thing we want to see is the reality. Now, of course, the first thing here is said that in chapter 1, verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptation. Now, you have to remember, James is not telling us that if you fall into diverse temptation. What does James is telling us here? When he fall into diverse temptation. What does that mean? That means you're going to face the temptation or trials whether you like or not. I mean, if James is saying if you're falling, that means maybe you will not. But if I mean, the scripture here, James is saying, when he fell, which means that sooner or later, you're going to face the temptation. You're going to face trial. So that shows that all of us, as long as you are born again Christian, as long as you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, sooner or later, you're going to face this kind of trials and temptation in your life. And we need to be prepared. Not only this, my brothers and sisters, you have to also see that not only we have the second point here, the variety of trial. Not only that we are going to face temptation, but we also will face diverse temptation. Now, when we talk about diverse, that means you're going to face all kinds of different kinds of temptation, different kinds of trial. For example, we're going to face financial temptations, financial trials. And today in the economy here in the States, we have faced all kinds of problems. And of course, we cannot blame Obama, but many people blame him. But you have to realize, sometimes you have to realize this is what God trying to give us the opportunity to respond in a biblical way. When you face financial situation, financial problems, what is your response? When you face family problems, what is your response? I mean, we have parents worry about their children and teenagers. And you can see that today's teenagers, that is postmodernism. I mean, they think differently than anybody else. And so when you face those teenagers, what are you going to do? And we have people that in their young age, that they just don't understand this absolutist truth. I mean, in the postmodernism, most of the people think that there's no absolute truth. There's only relative truth. And in that kind of situation, you just cannot teach them the biblical truth. So when you face those situations, what are you going to do? And not only you face financial trials, you face family trials, you face, I mean, husband-wife situation. And sometimes we have husband come to me and says, "My wife drives me crazy." I say, "Okay, what kind of things that she did? She nagged at me all the time." Well, I thought I said, "Well, doesn't God create women like that?" Well, but you don't know my wife, and I mean, we have all those kind of complaints. But see, this is also, I mean, a trial. But the problem is sometimes we don't know how to respond biblically. And so there's a husband-wife conflicts, and then they have all kinds of problems. Today we have so many marriage problems. It's really because husband, you don't understand. You don't respond biblically when you face your wife. When you face your wife, then, I mean, you need to understand God is going to give us the biblical way to handle all those trials. And we also have the future trial. We don't know what to do in the future, and people are worrying about what's happening next. And a lot of young people worry about what kind of job to take and things like that. And we also have a lot of faith problem. Today, if you want to stand firm for the faith, you're going to face all kinds of persecution, all kinds of trials that we face. But may I suggest that we also face physical trial. Sometimes we have disease. Today we have so many people face cancers, all kinds of disease, and face difficulties in our lives, that we lost our loved ones. Recently, I lost my father. He is one of the most close person in my life. And last March 19, the Lord called him home. I mean, that's a terrible situation. But when we face those kind of situations, what are we going to respond? You see, that is something we need to consider. The reason why James put all these things first in the book, the beginning of the book, is because this is important. Brothers and sisters, you see, if we cannot live a life different from the whole world, why people want to believe that we have a God who is superior and who is sovereign? And this is something we need to learn. And when you face financial problems, family problems, when you face future problems, physical problem, and even problem of your faith, what is your response? I want to share with you from the Bible, we need to respond in different actions, and then we need to respond in different attitude. The first we want to talk about is the pleasure. Now, you have to realize that in chapter 1, verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptation." The first thing we need to understand, the action we need to have, is to consider this is joy. I mean, the Bible said, count it all joy. When you face Family problems, count it all joy. When your sons and daughters rebel against you, count it all joy. Well, you said, how can you do that? Of course you can, because this is what the Bible said. When you face financial situation, financial problems, count it all joy. You say, you're crazy. I mean, how can I count it all joy when we have financial problems? Well, I mean, don't blame me. That's what the Bible says. Count it all joy. James says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptation. So my brothers and sisters, you see, this is the first thing that we need to do. The concept of count it all joy is fall into this particular word, count. Did you know how to count? Well, if you don't know how to count, then let me bring you to the kindergarten. Now, when you go to kindergarten, you have kindergarten teachers teach the children how to count. So they will say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then the children will say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then they will say 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then they will count. Now, sometimes you will have children, like said, some of children that they will say, instead of saying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, they will say 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean 1, 2, 3, 5. Then the teacher says, no, that's wrong. Said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then she will say, or he will say, 1, 2, 3, 5. And then missing the fourth. And then, the teacher will continue to teach the children and count it again, until the child said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now what does that mean? That means counting means you need to continue until you do it right. Now, when you face problems and difficulties and hardship and trials and persecution in your life, the first time you may be counted wrong. Instead of counting joy, you counted, bad. You counted, worse. I mean, counted sorrow. Counted, sad. And God says, well, that's wrong, and count again. So you face a similar situation, and you count again. And then, when you did not count it joy, then God gave you another retake. Another test, and then you counted the end, and you didn't count it right, and then God gave you another test, and then again and again, until you said, I counted the joy. Then God says, you passed the test. Well, see, that is the way that we learn how to count. And sometimes, unfortunately, a lot of Christian people today, we continue to count it wrong. And we need to change, my brothers and sisters. We need to respond to our trials and problems and difficulties and hardship in our life in the right way. Count it all joy. Now, I remember that when I first came to the States in the 86, I was shocked, a lot of cultural shock. One of the things the American people like to eat is pickle. Okay? I mean, pickle is one of the worst tastes, food of the world. I mean, it's not sour, it's not sweet, it's strange. But people, I mean, American people love pickle. And, by the way, my son loved pickle also. Now he is really banana. Which means that the inside is white, outside is yellow. Okay. And he loved pickles. And I don't know how to swallow the pickle in the beginning. But how do you, what do you think that the people love pickles? Because when they were young and the parents give them pickles and they actually been trained to adapt those kind of tastes. And so they love that kind of taste. And so devolve this kind of taste. Now, count it all joy is also this kind of concept. You need to train yourself. You need to train yourself to face persecution and problems and difficulties in the way that you need to have joyful response. It is not automatically happen, but we need to count. We need to learn how to count. We need to change our situation. We need to train ourselves so when we face the persecution and problems, we will be able to respond biblically. And I remember that I was invited to different mission field, and some of the people offered the best food to me. Sometimes strange food like bugs and worms, and particularly those worms when you bite, you will feel a punch of its liquid just inject into your mouth. And particular those box, they fry those box, and when you eat, you can feel the feet and the hands. One time they gave me a box and want me to eat. I mean, you know, you have to realize those people are poor, and they gave missionaries the best food, and those are very, very expensive, but they are willing to give to the missionaries. So when I took those foods, sometimes it's really difficult to swallow. But I don't want to hurt them, so I have to eat. What I did is that I look at the box and then renew my mind and change my mind to think this is not a box, this is a swamp. You eat swamp, right? So when you put them in the mouth and then thinking, this is not a box, this is a swamp. Actually, that's not bad when you chew that. My point is, count it all joy. Why? Because we did not renew our mind. My brothers and sisters, many times we have been brainwashed by the world, so we respond just like the worldly people. And so when the problem comes, when family problems, when we have teenagers problem, when we have the financial problem, guess what? We respond exactly just like the world people, and then with the sorrowful, with all kinds of negative response, and that's the reason why the devil get victory. But we need to reject the devil. We need to change our mind, renew our mind, and so that we will be able to respond in a biblical way. And when God says that we need to count all joy, and we need to count all joy, and how can we do that? The Bible said, renew our mind, and then we will be able to think like God and understand God's will. And so, my brothers and sisters, the next time you face such problems and situation and hardship, or even today you're facing financial problem, family problem, all kinds of problems you face, you need to start renewing your mind. Change your mind and consider this is God's blessing. And so you count it all joy. Not just partially joy. It's all joy. It can be done. As long as you change your mind and have the mindset that I'm not going to let those trials and problems and difficulties defeat me, because I'm a child of God. And so I need to respond in the way that God wants me to respond. Consider all joy. Count it all joy. And so that the first thing that we need to do is count it all joy. And the second response and second action we need to do is to be patient. Look at the chapter 1, verse 3. It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith work patience. The word patient, actually, in the Greek sense, is that to place yourself under. That you allow the pressures upon you, and you endure the pressure. Now, you have to realize, when we face problems and difficulties in our lives, God wants us to endure. Another thing, when I first came to the States, is learning English. Difficulty is not just eating. We have different kinds of eating habit, but we also have different kinds of language problem for the foreigner to learn English. One of the most difficult thing is that to learn idioms. I mean, idioms is really killing me. First time I came over, and they said, "Cut the light." I said, okay, cut the light. How can I cut the light? Now I understand, but turn off the light. But in the beginning, this is difficult to understand. And one of the things, I don't know whether you realize that we have an English idiom saying hang on. Now, when you consider this hang on, that means you don't quit. You hang on there. I mean, you stay there. You keep on doing the same thing. Don't quit. Because if you lose your grip, it's gone. You quit. And it's over.
And yet, when you hang on there, you endure and you be patient, because in the end, or in the due time, you're going to have reward, you're going to face harvests. The Bible tells us very clear that if you continue, hang on there, don't quit, and don't give up, God is going to bring the results. And so, when you face trials and problems and difficulties, don't quit. Don't just walk away. And just continue to allow the Lord working, because God says that you need to understand the trying of your faith work patient. And so through the patient, through this enduring of all the pressure, God is going to bring the good results, harvest in the future. But we just need to be careful. We just need to respond in the way that we need to endure the hardship and the problems and difficulties in our lives. So place ourselves under. I don't know whether you have this experience to eat those sprouts. I mean bean sprouts. And if you know how to make bean sprouts, then you understand this is exactly what God wants us to do. Because when you have the beans, and then you want to have the bean sprout, you have to lay them in damp or wet place, and put a board there. Now, a lot of farmers, they want to have the raise the strong and the nice sprout, and then they will put a lot of pressure. The more pressure you give to the bean, the better sprouts, bean sprouts you're going to have. Why that happened? Because the pressure helped the bean to continue to grow and grow stronger. Now, life is like that. Now, Christian spiritual life is also the same. When we have pressure, when we have all those problems and heavy burden, that's the time we grow stronger. And God will allow us to go through those trials and problems and difficulties so that we will be able to get stronger. I remember that some of your young kids don't remember that. When I was a kid in school, elementary school, our math teacher did not give us exercise. I mean, today we call it exercise. When we were young, our math teacher gave us problems. Remember, old people? Then, guess what? We get a lot of problems back. And so, go home, we do all the problems, solve all the problems, and then when we finish all the problems, we go to the teacher and says, "Teacher, we finished our problems." And then the teacher look at our problems, and then, make a mark and said, "Okay, do this back home." We got more problems. And remember that? You know, the more you do your problem, you finish your problem, you get more problems. And when you get more problems, and you find out those problems are harder problems and even more difficult. Why? Because it helps you to continue to grow. Now, the same thing, my brothers and sisters, you have to realize God gave us spiritual problems. When you solve the problems in your life, God gave you harder problems, so that you'll be able to handle the harder problems, because you already know the problems before. And this is the same thing. The God wants us to be patient, so that we endure all the problems, endure all the difficulties and trials in our lives, and then once we finish all those trials and accomplish all those problems, guess what? We will be able to have ability to take on or to face harder problems. Life is not going to lack of problems, but God wants us to be more prepared to face difficult problems. And that's the reason why when we face problems and trials in our life, we need to have patience. And thirdly, we need to consider pleading. Now, remember, you need to count it all joy. Number two, you need to place yourself under. So when you go through the pressures, God will going to give you more ability to face life problems. Now, but the third thing, that in chapter 1, we look at the chapter 1, verse 5, and there's another actions we need to do. In chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So what is the third thing we need to respond in our action? Is to plead and to ask God. But remember, you have to realize God did not ask us to take away our burdens, take away our problems, take away, remove our difficulties and hardship in our life. God didn't even ask us to please and to pray that God will remove all those persecutions. God did ask us to plead and ask, but God asked us to plead in a different way. Now, my brothers and sisters, you see, most of us, when we face financial problems, what do you do? Well, all of us, pretty much the first thing we do is, God, give me $1 million so that my financial problem will be solved. Right? Or if you have a family problems, what do you do? God, remove my husband. I mean, he is just incredible. I mean, I cannot handle him anymore. Just take him away. I mean, take him home or something like that, right? Well, that's our response. And or when we face teenagers' problems, Lord, I mean, just let him disappear. Something that we pray, we definitely pray God will help us to solve our problems. But you see, that is not a biblical way. God does not ask us to pray so that God will remove our problems. And actually, God asks us to pray that he will give us wisdom. Did you understand? This is a wonderful thing. And he will never refuse to give you and I wisdom. But many times we ask, when we face problems and difficulties and trials in our lives, we ask the wrong thing. Why? When you have a financial problem, you ask God to give you $1 million, and yet you didn't ask God for wisdom. Guess what? The $1 million is not going to help you to fix your financial problem. Because that $1 million, since you don't have God's wisdom, is not going to help you. And so God wants us to have his wisdom. So when we have God's wisdom, then we will know how to handle our financial problems. And when we have God's wisdom, then the financial problem is not the problem. You know, sometimes we ask God to give us money, and God asks us to give us fame and name and reputation and power and authority. But when we do not ask God to give us wisdom, all those things are not blessings, are going to be cursed. A person who do not have God's wisdom and get tons of money, he is going to spend in the way of his lust instead of giving to the glory of God. And so you see, God knew our sinful nature. And so God does not ask us to plead to him to have those worldly things. But he wants us to ask for wisdom. When you have a financial problem, ask God for wisdom. When you have a family problems, ask God for wisdom. When you have future problems, you don't know what to do, what to go, ask God for wisdom. When you have faith, persecution, difficulties and problems you face, those kind of situations, ask God for wisdom. When you have physical problems and difficulties and you face loved ones, cancer, sickness situation, ask God for wisdom. Because God knows what to do, and we don't. And one of the very important illustration or example that they in the Bible is that when Solomon was young, and God appeared to him, and God says, you can ask me. And Solomon did not ask any other things, but he asked wisdom. Now, let me ask you this. What in the end that Solomon got? Not just only wisdom. Because he asked God for wisdom, and then God gave him all. Why? Because Now he has God's wisdom in order to handle the money God gave to him, the power God gave to him, and then the fame and name God gave to him. God wants us to ask for wisdom. And we need to ask for wisdom when we face persecution, problems, and difficulties and trial in our lives. And so, you see, God wants us to count it all joy, and God wants us to be patient, and God also wants us to plead with the wisdom. Now, I want to show you this two gentlemen. The shorter one actually being arrested 5 times. And the taller one has been arrested for 30 years in jail. And this taller one, who has been arrested the first year, and the communist government forced his wife to divorce him. And she came and said, "You give up your faith, otherwise I need to divorce you." And the gentleman says, "I cannot. And God has been so faithful to me, and how can I deny him at this moment?" And so he did not. And then the children came and said, "Dad, you have to denounce your faith. Otherwise, we have to separate from you." And he said, "I cannot do that." So he stayed in jail for 30 years. And this 30 years, that his wife divorced him and his children denounced him. And he has nothing left. But he responded to this trial in a biblical way. And in all these 30 years, he continued to be faithful to the Lord. When he being released in the 90s, he continued to serve the Lord. And the last time I heard that his wife repented and his children went back. Now his whole family is reunited together. Why? Because he responded to the trial in the biblical way. He did not consider this as the sorrowful thing, so terrible thing. He continued to serve the Lord faithfully. And the other shorter gentleman, he was arrested 5 times. The last time he was arrested, that his wife and his older son has been arrested also. And left 4 younger kids without anybody to take care of. But he handed all those kids and his children into God's hand. And when he was released, he didn't know where the children were. And yet, some church members took those kids and then raised them. And God is faithful God. What we need to do is to be faithful to him and respond in a biblical way. And God will take care of us. And so I want to encourage you that the people today that respond in the right way, in particularly in China, that they face persecution, but yet they did not consider this as hardship. They consider this as God's blessing. And yet God used them to touch many lives. And also, we need to not only have the action, but we also need to have attitudes. What kind of attitudes we are talking about? The first attitude is joyful attitudes. In chapter 1, verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptation." Now, the first, most of the time when we face problems and difficulties in our life, we have the attitude of complaint. We have the attitude of bitterness. We have an attitude of anger and hatred. And sometimes we have the attitude distrust. We don't think that God is good for us. And so sometimes we just walk away from God when we face problems. But see, my brothers and sisters, that is not right response. We need to have a joyful attitude. And so when we face the situation, you need to always prepare to have this joy. And the Bible said, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. And that is the most wonderful spirit that we have to show to the whole world that God is in control. And so no matter what happened, we are not going to lose our joy because we are in God's hand. And God is going to take care of us. And even though that we may face severe problems, and also probably the end of our life, we still can have joy because nobody can take away our joy. And the devil wants to take away our joy, but we need to have joy in the Lord. Rejoice evermore. So that's a very important attitude that we have. I don't know what happened today that you face. Maybe you face financial problems, you face family problems, and you face all kinds of physical sickness problems. But let me encourage you to have a joyful attitude. And that is the most important thing, and nobody can take away from us unless you are giving away. And we still can have joy despite the circumstance and situation. And one of the joyful books, epistle, that Paul wrote is when he was in jail. I mean, if Paul can do that, we definitely can learn from him to have a joyful attitude no matter what kind of situation we face. Secondly, not only we need to have a joyful attitude, we also need to have an understanding mind. In chapter 1, verse 3 says that knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patient. And so the Bible said, knowing this, you have to have an understanding mind. You need to know this. You need to know that God is in control. You need to know that God is the sovereign God. He knows everything. Before we face anything, God already checked out everything. And I remember the story talking about one of our co-workers who work in China, and he was arrested for 20 years in labor camp. And during 1966 until 1976, and this is a cultural revolution, but he was arrested 20 years. And so after he was released in the 80s, and he went back to the original unit, working place. And all those people look at him because they are college men. And so they ask him, where have you been this 20 years? So this gentleman says, I was arrested because I'm a believer. Then those unsaved colleagues said, well, lucky you. Well, they are not Christian, but they say, lucky you. He was very strange. I mean, he was very, he doesn't understand. Says, why you say lucky me? I was locked up. I was arrested for 20 years in labor camp. And they said, oh, lucky you. Because if you are out here during that cultural revolution, you're going to be killed. And our co-workers immediately went home and went to his bathroom, in the room, and then he kneeled down and cried and thanked the Lord. And he said, Lord, I really feel sorry. All these 20 years that when I was in labor camp, I think that you forget me. But now I know. You are protecting my life. My brothers and sisters, maybe you don't know God. And so you think that the problems and difficulties and the hardship that you face means that God forgets you. Well, that's not the truth. The truth is, God is trying to protect you. And God has a different ways to protect you. And you just need to know this. A story talking about a candy store. There's a grand opening, and in the entrance there's a jar of candy that all the kids coming over to this grand opening candy store, they can grab one handful of candy free. And this little boy, 5 years old, he stood up in the jar and never stretched out his hand to grab the candy. And then the line is getting longer and longer, and the parents came and says, try to grab one handful of candy, let's go. And he stood up there and did not touch the candy. And then finally the owner came and says, young boy, just grab this handful of candy, that's all yours and free. And he did not move and stand there. And finally, the owner stretched out and then grabbed a handful of candy and put it into this little hands. And the boys were so happy and then went out. Then outside of the door, the parents said, why don't you do this yourself?
And the boy said, because his hand is bigger than mine. Well, my brothers and sisters, do you know God's hand is bigger than ours? Do you know that God is actually helping us in all kinds of situations, even in the difficult problems and trial and persecution situation? God's hand is bigger than ours. And he knows what is best for us. But do you know that? So, during the trial, James says, we need to know, knowing this. So you need to have a understanding mind. Not only you need to have a joyful attitude, understanding mind, and the Bible also said we need to have a submissive will. Look at the chapter 1, verse 4. It says, but let patience have her perfect work, and ye may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. The word let, actually, in the Greek sense, is allowed. You need to allow the Holy Spirit, allow God to work in your life. You need to allow the Lord to do his will in your life. Sometimes we refuse God to do anything in our lives. But if you want to overcome the trials and problems and difficulties in your life, you need to allow the Lord to work in your life. And one of our sisters being arrested in China, and he was put into the one of the cell. And so he stopped preaching the gospel to all those inmates, 12 of them. And after a few weeks, all of them got saved. And so they start singing hymns in that cell's unit. And the sound is so too loud. And the officials get this sister out, says, we have to change you to another cell. So they changed her. And so she went to another new cell and started preaching the gospel again. And six of them got saved. And in the beginning, there's only one cell singing hymns. Now there's two cells singing hymns. And then they got mad again, take her out, and then send her to another cell. And guess what? They changed her six times. And she continued to preach the gospel. And six units, actually, cells singing hymns in the end. And finally, the official called her in the office, says, we need to let you go. And she said, why? She said, I'm doing well here. Why you want to send me away? And then the official said, if we keep you here, all the people in this jail will get saved. And so they kick her out, because she allowed the Holy Spirit to work in her. And then she become a blessing, even in jail, that she become an instrument that God can use. See, you and I need to respond in the biblical way, even in those kind of a worse situation in the human concept. But God can use that. So you and I need to have a submissive will and to let the Lord work in us when we face difficult situation. And finally, not only we need to have submissive will, but we also need to have a believing heart. In chapter 1, verse 5 to 6 says, if any one of you lack a wisdom, and then in verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith. We need to believe, my brothers and sisters. When you are falling into trials and hardship and problems, do you believe? Do you believe that God is a sovereign God? Do you believe God will never make mistakes? Do you believe that the trials that you are in right now is exactly the trial that God permit? And God is going to use that trial to glorify his name if you respond in a biblical way. I remember that in the beginning of the communism took over China, a pastor had been arrested. And they asked the pastor to give out the list of the members of the church, and he refused. So they brought the wives and the children. And he refused to give the list. So they dig a big hole and put all the families inside the hole and bury them up to the neck. And they yelled to the pastor, says, okay, now, if you don't give us the list, we're going to bury you alive. At this moment, the children is kind of frightening, start crying. And then the pastor is kind of weak, and he cannot handle the children's suffering. And at this moment, the wife saw the husband is kind of weak, so she turned to the children and said, be quiet, children, and tonight we're going to have supper with Jesus Christ. And they all been buried alive. And because they believe the God is in control, and even they sacrificed their life. But according to the witness, the people who buried them alive, some of those soldiers, later on trust Christ as their Savior. Do we believe? I mean, this is really the important concept. Are we believers who believe Jesus Christ and He is in control? We are just like a corn of wheat. If we don't bury into the ground and die, there will be no fruit coming forth. Our lives is not ours. My brothers and sisters, it's time for us to respond, trial in the biblical way. I believe all of us are facing trials every day, every moment. But do we respond to trials in the biblical manner? And so that people can see that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we come before Thee. I thank Thee for this morning that we can study Thy Word. I do pray that will help our people to understand that we have an obligation to respond to the trials in the biblical way. So I do pray, Father, that will encourage our people, my brothers and sisters, and so that we will strengthen the body of Christ and live a life that the world never seen. And so that we will exalt Jesus Christ and trust Him in any circumstance and situation that we are in. Thank Thee, Father, for this morning. Continue to bless each one of us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I needed that message, and I...